Welcome to the Ridge Community Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button and find us online at theridgecc.com. At our website, you can catch up with everything that's happening at The Ridge, watch previous messages, and learn more about who we are. If you want to watch services live, you can catch them every Sunday via our online community at live.theridgecc.com. We hope this message inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy. All right, today we are kicking off a brand new series that we are calling I've Got Issues. And let me just kind of be upfront. I've got issues, okay? Let me just share a couple of them with you. It's just kind of fitting, okay? I can't stand snow and cold weather, okay? I mean, I just absolutely can't stand it. I lived in California for a while, lived in Florida for a while, okay? Even though I grew up in Wisconsin. And when it snows out, every time it snows out, and then you add the cold on it, I just go to a really dark place. It's kind of like, I look at it and I go, so this is what the judgment of God looks like right here. You know, everyone thinks it's going to be fire and all that stuff, which I don't know if that how that looks. But no, it's going to be cold and wet and it's going to be snowy. So I can't stand it. I go to a dark place. Another issue of mine is it's just repulsive to me that people would drive below the speed limit, okay? I mean, I just can't stand it. And here's what often happened. The family will be in the car, and then all of a sudden someone pulls out and they're driving slow. And here's what I do. I don't know if some of you do this as well. I start to tell everybody in the car what a bad person that is driving that car, you know? I'm like, how could they do that? And they're not going to heaven. And, you know, I'm talking, and nobody cares, but I still talk about it anyways. And then here's another issue I have. I'll just kind of be walking around her house, and then I start making this clicking noise. And nobody in the house likes it, and I don't even realize I'm doing it, you know, but I just, for some reason, that's an issue of mine. Now, you hear those, and you go, Mark, those aren't really that serious of an issue, you know, and they aren't, but I have some serious issues as well. For example, I can tend to hold grudges. Another issue of mine is I have no problem laying into someone if I have to, which on Thursday night I said laying out someone, which is really interesting. That got an interesting response. Another one is that I have a very challenging time just living in the moment and just enjoying the people and the places that I'm at because I'm never satisfied with myself or with other people. Now, those are just a few of my issues. I have a lot more, and I would bet that every single one of us has issues. In fact, I want to ask this. How many of you, just show of hands, Oak Creek Franklin as well, how many of you have issues? Just be honest. Can I just be honest with you? Yeah, and if you didn't raise your hand, you have an issue that you just exposed. You lack self-awareness, okay, which is not one of the topics that we're going to talk about. Now, here's what I want to do is kind of just, we call it around here burping the baby, okay, just to kind of let it all out. So I'm going to count to three. And then when I hit three, I just want everyone to just let it out and just say, I've got issues. All right, can you do that with me? All right, here we go. One, two, three. I've got issues. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You've got issues. Major, major issues. Now, here's what I also want you to do. I'm going to count to three. And then after I say three, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you've got issues. Okay? One. No, we're not going to do that. But here's the thing. But here's the thing, some of you were like, oh, I can't wait for that one, all right, you know? And because we like that one better, let's be really honest. And because, you know we've got issues, okay, and we're honest about our issues and all that stuff, but, you know, our focus tends to be on other people's issues. But this series, as I said, is called I've Got Issues. And so as we journey together, we're gonna make sure that we take the focus off of other people and we're gonna look in the mirror, we are gonna look at ourselves, and we are gonna deal with our issues. Now, because of that, I thought that there needed to be some phrases over the next couple weeks that we're just gonna say, they're off limits for us. Here's one of the phrases that's off limit for us. Well, I wish so-and-so were here to hear this. Or here's another one, you know, my so-and-so, and you can fill in so-and-so, my so-and-so, man, he really struggles or she really struggles with this one. And then here's one that you cannot say as well. I don't deal with this issue. Now, one more thing before we really jump into the message. For many of us, we have this perception that church is the last place that we should be talking about issues because we think, well, you know, don't people who go to church, don't they have it all together? Actually, the church was designed to be a place where people who don't have it all together get together and they partner with God and each other to find healing and freedom from their issues. And so as we talk about this and you go, hey, am I the only one? Nope, you are one of everyone. Now today what we're gonna do is we're gonna kick it off with an issue that for many of us, we don't realize we all deal with this issue at some level. And not only do we not realize it, but for many of us, if we do, or we'd say, yeah, maybe I do a little bit, we minimize the consequences that this issue has on our lives, but this issue has huge consequences. You know, this issue is the reason that many of you are pushing your kids to do things that they don't want to do. This issue is the cause, and you don't realize this, this issue is the cause of much of the unhappiness in your relationships, in your finances, and even with God. This issue is the cause of much of your anxiety and maybe even be the cause of some of your depression. And most importantly, this issue keeps us from experiencing the life that God created us to live. Today, the issue that we're going to kick it off with is this issue right here, discontentment. Now, the reason why I chose this one to kick the series off is because if we can learn to be content, we will have the most meaningful, enjoyable, and satisfying year that we have ever had. Because instantly what will happen is you'll become more open to God, you'll have deeper relationships, and you'll be more willing to deal with the other issues that we talk about throughout the series. Without this, all that stuff just shrinks. Now, what is discontentment? I love what Pastor John Mark Comer, his definition of it. He says it this way. He says, discontent is this nagging feeling of always wanting more. It's interesting that we live in, if not but one of, the most resource countries in the entire world. When I mean resource, I'm not just talking finances. I'm talking about healthcare and education and just opportunities in general. Yet, we are also one of the most discontent countries in the entire world. So what causes the dis in discontent? Now, there's a lot of things that do, and I don't have time to talk about all of them, but the main one that we're going to deal with for the rest of our time is this right here. Comparison. Recently, I heard someone said that discontentment always starts with this phrase right here. I wish I had, or I wish I didn't have. You know, you're dating someone and you're like, man, I wish she was more like my last girlfriend, or I wish she had a physique like Mark's. You know, you're married. You're married and you're going, yeah, I just wish our marriage was more like the neighbors. You know, he's always doing this for her, or she's always doing this for him. And, you know, we see this all the time with kids. It's like, you know, you see what other kids, where they're going to school and how they're doing in school and the sports and other things that they're doing. And you're like, man, their kid is dunking a basketball and he's only 4, you know, and my kid, you know, he's here and he's not doing any of that, man. I wish. And so we push and we push and we push our kids. If we're honest, this is really, really ugly and nasty stuff going on in our life. Because here's what happens. I'm not content with me. And so I filter that discontentment onto other people. And as a result, we place expectations on other people that, you know what, they can't meet, which only just furthers the discontentment. And here's where it really gets ugly. Where it ends up landing is this. I wish because I or they is not good enough for me. You know, I was trying to think of just kind of a visual to capture what discontentment can look like. And here's the visual I come up with. Discontentment is a lot like living life on a hamster wheel. Okay, we all know what a hamster wheel is. Okay, you just kind of go, and you're not going anywhere. And so it kind of works like this. It's like we're living our life, and then all of a sudden we take a look at someone and we start comparing our lives with them. And once we start comparing our lives with them, it's like we jump on the wheel, and then we start to run because I have to catch him, I have to catch her, I have to catch them. And so we run and we go, I wish because I have to be better. I wish because I have to have more. And so we keep running, trying to get there, but there is no there because there's always another there. And what ends up happening is we end up in a place where we are not anywhere. And so what we do is we get on the wheel and we just keep running and we run and we run. But here's the thing about a hamster wheel. There's no finish line on a hamster wheel, right? You just kind of run. And that's the same thing we do with the comparison thing. It's like we run and we run and we run and we just keep on running and there's no joy in that. And as a result, as I said, we can't enjoy who or what we think is not good enough. Now, I want to take a look at a passage today that's found in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. And this is one of those passages that was written thousands of years ago that when you read it, you go, how did they know? How did they know? Well, that's because the reason they knew is because what we're talking about here isn't a today thing. This is a thing. This is a people thing. So the book of Ecclesiastes is written by one of the most fascinating characters in all of history, including the Bible. His name is Solomon. And Solomon was considered one of the wisest people who have ever lived. And he also had 1,000 wives. Not sure how wise that is, especially around Valentine's Day, but not really wise, but he had 1,000 wives. And he was also one of the wealthiest individuals who has ever lived. Yet he wrestled with discontentment. And here's what he writes about our tendency to just compete or compare ourselves with other people. Here's what he said. He said, "And I saw that all the toil and all achievement springs from one person's envy of one another." And so here's what envy is. Envy is looking at another person and just going, I wish. Now, how many of you like to people watch? Just be honest. Oak Creek Franklin, you're people watchers. Yeah. So you love going to Walmart, in other words, all right? That's be honest. Now, here's what Solomon's going. Solomon's people watching. And he's going, hey, listen, I've been watching people. And here's what I've noticed. I've noticed that everybody is just competing with one another. That everybody is determining where they are based on where everybody else is. And then he uses this very, very fascinating phrase that if you've never heard this phrase before, you should just memorize this phrase because of just the mental picture it gives. He says this. He says, "This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." Now, show of hands, how many of you have ever chased the wind? If you have, we need to add an extra week onto the I've Got Issues series, right? And the reason being, because you know this, you know, it's pointless. It's meaningless because you can't catch the wind. And so what Solomon says is he says that when we use other people to determine where we are and how we're doing, it's pointless because there's never a winner in this. I mean, think about it. Here's what we do. We look at that person, what they're doing, and then we chase, and then we chase, and then we see something else, and we got to chase that, and we got to chase that. And there's never an ending. It just keeps going because someone always has more. And so here's what I want you to do. The next time you see someone and you go, man, I wish I had hair like that. Or, you know, I wish I had a body like his. Or I wish I could fit into those jeans like hers. Or, you know, I wish that I drove what he drove or lived in what they lived in. Or I wish I was married to her. The next time you are out and you find yourself looking at someone else's situation and wishing, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to stop and go, no. That's chasing after the wind. I'm not going to do that. And then Solomon, he's just getting warmed up, if you know what I mean. He says this. He says, some of you got that. Some of you, I appreciate. Fools fold their hands and they ruin themselves. And so Solomon's like, don't take this to the extreme. I don't want you to go, oh, just because, you know, I'll never have what they have. Or I'll never be as good as they have. Well, now I'm not going to do anything. He says, no. Being lazy, being unproductive, playing the victim card, that's not the answer. In fact, if you do that, that's only going to make things worse. And then what Solomon says next, he gives us, I think, what is the picture of what a content life looks like? In fact, for some of us, as we grab a hold of this picture and we start the series, maybe this is the New Year's resolution that you put forth, even though we're past the New Year's. Here's what he says. Better one hand full with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Now, this picture is really cool. The word tranquility just means satisfaction or contentment, what we've been talking about. It just means I'm good. And so later on today, you go back to your apartment or you walk into your apartment, you walk into your house, and you just look around and you go, I'm good. Later today, you're going to go watch the Packer game at a family member's house or a friend's house. And you walk in and their house is so much bigger than yours and they've got more stuff than you and all that stuff. And you just walk in, and you go, you know what? I'm really happy for them. And so here's the picture he's trying to give. Solomon's saying is better having one open hand with only one handful of what you can hold in your life than to have two fistfuls clenching on to all that you can have and keep and hold on to. And he's saying the reason why it is because if we live like this, there's no peace to this. Because eventually, as you're grabbing on and holding on to two, culture's always gonna say, you don't have enough, you need more. And you're gonna look around and you're gonna go, yeah, I got two handfuls, but you know, now I want a third, and now I want a fourth, and now I want a fifth. And it just keeps going and going and going. In other words, we never get to a place where it's like, we're chasing. We look around and we go, I think I've run long enough. I'm satisfied now, I'm good. It doesn't work that way. And so here's what I want us to do. I want us to do a little interactive exercise with us together. I want you to take your hands and put them out like this, okay? Oak Creek Franklin, take your hands and put them out. Okay. Better one handful with tranquility. Just do this. Better one handful with tranquility than two fistful of stuff that you're clenching onto. Better one handful with tranquility than two fistfuls of stuff that we are trying to hold on to. Now that's the picture of contentment right here. Now here's the thing. This is where the challenge comes into this whole thing. And here's the challenge. We just assume more is better. But chasing after more, man, realize this, always leaves us wanting more. And I can prove it to you. If we were to have a conversation and I was to say, I want you to tell me about a time in your life that you were most content, you would probably tell me a story of a time where you had the least amount of stuff. I can remember this, I was thinking about this for Donna and me, and that actually is true. We were married just under 2 years, and I was leaving a corporate job that I loved, and we were gonna go, and I was gonna get a master's degree and become a pastor and all that stuff. And so we had to move as a part of that process for me to go to school and get a master's degree. And it was a pretty long move, and so because we couldn't afford a U-Haul truck, we had to get a U-Haul trailer. And I still remember, we're packing this we had a one-bedroom apartment at the time, and we're packing this U-Haul trailer, and we get to the end, and the only thing was left was a TV. And this was before the flat screens, you know, where you could just kind of slide them in anywhere. This is one of the big fat ones, you know, like this. And Donna goes, well, no room for the TV. And you don't tell it. She doesn't know, as we're newlyweds, you don't tell that to a guy, okay? You don't say things like that. She doesn't know that. And so I'm looking at this TV that's right by the trailer, and I'm just kind of looking at it. And she goes, honey, it's either the TV or the cats. And I go, you mean there's an option? We have to throw this TV away, you know, and I'm just weeping over it and all that stuff. And then not only that, but we had to sell a car because we had to pay for some of the school, you know, and then the only car we had, we were a one car family, and it was this really old junky car that hardly ran. It was really fascinating that when it would rain, the trunk would fill up with water. And we took it to mechanics and all that stuff, and we were like, hey, there's a leak here. And then they would test it and they go, we don't see a leak. And so we had a possessed car, you know, on top of that thing, just kind of filled with water. And so then, you know, we moved into this duplex, and this thing was barely 500 square feet. And it was an old one, really small. And then we lived off of $8.75 an hour down to work where I went to school full time. I still remember we get paid. And I remember we look at the check, we go, okay, we can get this grocery, we can't get that, we can't do this week, we gotta wait for next week, and we did that. Here's the thing, we had less than we've ever had, and yet we were happier and more content than we ever had. And I bet if you kind of look at your life, and this is for most of us, when I said, tell me about a time you were most content, you would look back at a time when you had the least amount because you didn't deal with the pressures that having more creates in our life. You see, here's the point of the whole thing. Less is actually more when the less you hold is what you were created for. Better is one handful with tranquility than striving, than pushing, than competing, than comparing. And then Solomon, he gives like another example, and he says this. He says, again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone, and he had neither son nor brother. Now, this is a big deal back then, because if you didn't have son or brother, you had no one to pass your wealth down to. Because back then, women couldn't inherit anything. And then he says, there was no end to this toil. So he's busting his butt. He's chasing. He says, yet his eyes were not content, with his wealth. And so he's working hard, he's getting it done, he's being successful. And for some reason, we don't know why, as he's chasing, he stops. And as he stops, he asks himself two very important questions that I think every single one of us needs to ask ourselves. Because these questions are perspective questions. And if we're gonna get to a place of contentment, proper perspective is a vital part in that whole thing. And here's the questions he asks himself. Well, for whom am I toiling? In other words, who are you doing this for, really? And then he says the second question. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? Second question, well, why are you doing this? Well, who are you doing it for, really? And why are you doing it? Now, here's the thing. You might not ask yourself these questions, but you already have an answer to these questions. You know, for some of you, you're competing with a sibling. For others of you, you're trying to please a mother, or you're trying to live up to the expectations of a father. You know, for some of you, you're just kind of looking around, and you're on social media, and or you're talking to people at work or neighbors or friends, and they're talking about the vacation that they took here, and they're talking about the place that they bought here, or the upgrade, or their kids are doing this, and so you're competing with them. For some of us, you go, I'm not competing with everyone. I'm doing this for me. I'm just ambitious. I'm just a goal setter. Or you might say, I'm just doing it for my family. Maybe. And there's nothing wrong with being ambitious and setting goals. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. As you dig below the surface, probably not. Who are you doing it for? And why are you doing it? I'm telling you, if you are honest with yourself about these questions and you give the honest answer, because most of us, we're not going to give the honest answer at first. But once you do, I am telling you, it'll open up a door for you and you will begin to take a path around contentment, because you will truly see that one handful with tranquility is better than two fistfuls clinching on to stuff. And then our guy Solomon, he closes with this great line. He says this, this too is meaningless, a miserable business. In other words, hey, this is meaningless. It's a sucky way to live your life. Because when you chase and you chase and you chase, you never catch it. And not only do you never catch it, but you expend all that energy over here rather than all the energy in the very place that God gave you to spend on the calling and the life that he created you to live. So how can we get rid of the I wishes and begin to experience and learn contentment in our life? Well, I want to look at just one more passage quickly that gives us, I think, the best visual of this whole thing. And it's found in the book of Hebrews, which is in the New Testament. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. He says this. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, hinders just means hold back. And you know what holds us back? Looking around and going, I wish, I'm going to chase and I'm going to run over here. That holds us back. And then he says this is so great. And let us run with perseverance. In other words, keep going. Oh, it's tough. Nope, keep running. And let us run with perseverance. And here's this phrase, the race marked out for us. Do you know that God has a race marked out just for you? That there's a mission, there's a calling, there's a purpose that he has created just for you. And it's unique to you because he's made you unique. Well, how do we know what that is? He tells us. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, in parentheses, our faith. In other words, he says, instead of chasing all someone else's, trying to run someone else's race, what I want you to do is I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus. And when you do so, you instantly gain perspective. And when you go on that journey, he will reveal to you the race he has marked out for you. So, how do we keep away from the I wishes and begin down the path of contentment? Here it is. You got to learn to run your race and quit chasing the win. Or in other words, quit chasing everything else. And so, God has marked out a race just for you, and you don't want to miss it because you were wishing you were running someone else's race. And so, I want to wrap up my time by giving you two phrases that you can use when you find yourself going, I wish, and then you start to look over here and you start to run, and chase something that you can't chase and catch. You can use these phrases, and these phrases should help you instantly stop and begin to focus on the beautiful, powerful, impactful race God has given you. Okay, here's the first phrase. We go from I wish to God I'm thankful for. I wish to God I'm thankful for. You see, here's what ends up happening that most of us don't even realize is going on in our hearts right now. When we start to look at someone else's race and go, I wish, here's what ends up happening in our heart. We start believing that we're not good enough, beautiful enough, worthy enough, smart enough, and we just kind of keep going down that trail. And the more we go down that trail, ingratitude begins to fill up in our heart, and the more ingratitude fills up in our heart, the more discontent we will be. Now, here's what makes sense. If ingratitude is a big part of discontentment, then it makes sense that gratitude is one of the cures for contentment. Here's a great quote that I came across a couple weeks ago while researching for this message. I don't even know who wrote it. Here's the quote. Contentment is not the fulfillment of all that we want, which is what we think, right? Oh, I wish. If this was better, da-da-da-da-da-da, and we chase. You know what it is? It's the realization of all that we have. And gratitude, one of the powerful things about gratitude is once we get there, we begin to open our eyes and see the things right around us that discontentment blinds us to. So here's an exercise that you can do that is really easy. And I'm telling you, it is a really powerful exercise. This week, maybe you do it for 7 days in a row. You take out a notepad, or you use your notes app, or Tyler uses the Happy Feed app, which he really loves. And here's what you do. Once a day, you just list three things you're grateful for. Just do it for a week. Just three things you are grateful for. And I'm telling you, if you do this exercise well, you will begin to see things in your life that currently you have been blinded to because of the I wishes. So that's the first phrase. I'm thankful for God. Here's the second phrase I want you to go. You transition from I wish to I'm happy for them. Like gratitude, celebrating the success of others is a discontentment killer because it rips out the weed of envy that is in our heart. Now, for many of us, we're not really good at this, okay? So this is something that we gotta practice, and this is something that we gotta learn. So here's something I want you to do this week, because I'm telling you, it'll happen this week. A scenario like this will play out. You're gonna be in a situation where you're talking with someone, and maybe you see this person and you do a lot of I wishing with this person, okay? And maybe they are, and you're like, I don't like to be around them. And really, it's nothing to do with them, it's your I wishing. So you're gonna be around them like, instead of going, I wish, you're gonna go, I'm happy for you. So they get a raise that you wish you got, and you're gonna go, hey, you know what? I'm really happy for you. Their kids, they get accepted into this school or this program or whatever, and you wanted your kids, you know, I wish. You're gonna go, you know what? I'm really happy for you. You know, maybe you've been praying for something, and for some reason, God hasn't answered that prayer the way you want him to. And then you come across this person, and they have that. And you're just gonna go, you know, I'm really happy for you. Packer fans, later today, when you guys get destroyed by the Cowboys, okay? And you're gonna be around Cowboy fans later this week, I just want you to go, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. Now, you might go, Mark, isn't that, that's not very sincere. If I say things like that, not just the Packer example, okay? You might say, that's not very sincere. Well, hey, that's a good idea. Well, wasn't it a good idea? Didn't you just wish you had thought of the idea? Now you're actually being honest with you. And what you'll find is when you're honest with you, that begins to open up your heart, dealing with that weed of envy. And that takes you down a very different trail, a trail that you can experience contentment. Growing up, I had my parents and just some coaches and some relatives. They would always say, Mark, we think you're gonna really be successful in your life. And the reason why they would say that growing up is because I was really a driven kid. Everything I did, I just went after, worked hard at, did really well in school, always knew what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to be a CEO of a large company. And even at an elementary school, middle school, I was already reading and preparing for that very career. My middle brother, he was the exact opposite of me. No motivation, did not do well in school. In fact, and I don't know how you really do this, okay, I've never seen this before, he flunked out of three colleges, okay? He never made it out of a semester in school, and he couldn't do it. And people were very concerned about where he was gonna go with his life. Well, after college, I took a job with a Fortune 100 company and was on the fast track, but then I changed courses to become a pastor, something I wasn't expecting to do, but man, God had just changed my life so much. I was like, man, I want other people to experience this. My middle brother, after flunking out of his last school, he took a job as a mover in a small moving company. And he did this for about a year, where then he decided to take a flyer and he decided to start up a franchise of that moving company here in Wisconsin. It was the first of its kind. And so he starts this franchise and it was wildly successful. So much so, he started up other locations and he became a multi-millionaire. So much so, he could have retired by the age of 40 and been completely fine. And as I'm watching this play out, I dealt with a slew of I wishes. I can remember I would go over to his house and he had like the 7-bedroom house, you know, and he would drive these really nice cars. And then I would get into my old Toyota Corolla that barely ran. And I'd be like, I wish God. He didn't have to worry about, you know, retirement or paying for his kids' colleges or just day-to-day bill stuff. And then, you know, we're just trying to make ends meet like everybody else, you know. I go, oh, God, I wish. And here's what I did, and maybe you've done this before when you've been in this situation. I would try to find things and justify things in my mind to make myself feel better. And so I would say things like this. I would say things like, well, if I had chosen that path, I would have been that successful too. Or this was a real dark one. I said this, well, yeah, he's doing all that, but I gave it all up for God. And here's what you think. You think, oh, that just kind of makes you feel better. But it doesn't make you feel better, does it? Because envy and jealousy and all that stuff, it just leads to more discontentment and it just goes and it goes and it goes. Well, I finally had to reach a point, and Donna was actually really helpful in this. She was like, hey man, you gotta let that stuff go. You've got all this stuff going on in your life and you can't see it because you're too focused on what your brother has and that you don't have. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Our marriage is over. No, I said, you're right, you know? I said, you're right. And so I remember doing this. I said, you know what? I'm just gonna start from the basics and I'm just gonna start making lists every day of the things I'm thankful for. And it sounds so trite, but it's such a powerful thing to do. And I'm like, okay, I'm thankful for my wife and our kids and how our kids and our family came together and that we got to come to Wisconsin, back to Wisconsin and do this and be a part of what God's doing and hearing stories of life change and every baptism. I'm like, you know, we get to be a part of that. That's such the coolest thing. And so I started to do that. And then I remember I got to this point where I had to go, you know what? I've got to stop ripping his story and start celebrating his story. And I remember just going, I gotta do this publicly and I gotta do this for me. And there were some opportunities that came up right after that and about some people that were thinking of going into business. I'm like, oh, hey, let me tell you my brother's story. And I began to tell them his story. And the more I spoke it out, the interesting thing is it didn't just inspire them, it started to inspire me. Because it's a true rags to riches story. And he follows Jesus and he's generous and they honor God with everything. And then I just began to realize there is no way I could have done what he did. And here's what happened. The more I celebrated his story, the more content I became with my own. And see, here's the thing, the same thing will happen with you. And I can't promise you that as you go down this path that you're never going to be tempted to just go on that I wish. I can't promise you that that's never going to happen. But I can promise you that when you focus all your energy on your race and not someone else's, you will begin to experience something that you haven't experienced probably up to this point with your own life. Just how meaningful, enjoyable, and satisfying the race God gave you really is. Let me pray for us. Father, as we kick off our I've Got Issues journey that we're going to take together, and we, as we said at the beginning, we just come clean. We've all got them. We've all got them. And God, I thank you that this is a place, and the church is meant to be a place where we deal with, we don't have to be embarrassed of that. We come clean with that. And we work and we wrestle through these things together. And this one right here, God, might be one that we may not think is that big of a deal, but oh God, it runs so deep in many of our lives. And it is causing us to not really see what you have right there in front of us. It's not allowing us to see the people and the opportunities and the experiences and what's ahead, because we're so looking at something else or someone else's race that they are running. Father, I pray right now that we would be honest with ourselves and honest with you about just that envy and jealousy and that discontentment that just seeps into our hearts so subtly. And God, that we would have the courage to go, you know what, God, we're done with that. And we would begin to be thankful for and do the things needed to be thankful for. And you know what, God, that this week we would celebrate someone else's success. And God, I would pray that we would experience, because we will, that your spirit would move in our life in such a way that we would experience the freedom that comes. The freedom that comes, that knowing that you have a race and a mission and a calling for each and every one of us. Thank you, God, for it. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ridge Community Church's podcast. If you live in Southeast Wisconsin, we'd love to host you at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and more about our kids and students' environments, visit us at theridgecc.com. That's theridgecc.com.